quarterback. Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have all y'all asses up in here listening to me. I need everybody to hit that thumbs up button, hit that thumbs up button, hit that like button, ladies and gentlemen. Hit that goddamn like button right now, y'all. What we're going to do, we're going to take that real quick commercial break. We're going to take a quick commercial break, so don't you move a muscle. Listen to my wonderful sponsors. We'll be right back, right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game, and I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Hey, what's up, y'all? I hope you're wearing your KN95 masks everywhere you go to protect you from all the germs in the air. Also, I want to tell you about this hand sanitizer with aloe vera from iwantamask.com. It smells so amazing. It's not like other hand sanitizers that leaves your hands feeling clammy and disgusting. So definitely get your hand sanitizer with aloe vera from iwantamask.com. iwantamask.com is offering free shipping for all orders over $50.
What's up, family? Check out independent artist from New Jersey, my dude, Mr. Waz Most. That's W-A-Z-M-O-S-T. Check him out. He has his brand new fourth solo album out called Second Class Citizen. It's streaming on all digital platforms. You can also follow Waz Most on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube under Waz Most. Check him out. Second Class Citizen bumping right now.
Black owned, black operated, black excellence. My name is Eternal. Love excels all. I'm a music producer. I've worked side by side with multi-platinum and Grammy Award winning producers to learn my craft. I myself have earned 4 Billboard Top 100 credits. Alternatively, I teach music production, mixing, and how to grow an audience organically. This is targeted, specialized, one-on-one training catering to your specific needs and issues. Love excels all on YouTube and Instagram. Love excels all. Call or text 917-547-9886. Again, that's 917-547-9886. Love excels all.
If you like money and if you like fun, you need to go to Linda Sue Games on YouTube right now and subscribe and click the notification bell. Linda Sue Games is the only channel on YouTube where they post games, videos, and all types of things for you to play and win money every day. Simply go to YouTube and search for Linda Sue Games, L-I-N-D-A, Sue, S-U-E, Games. Go there right now.
This is Gary Miller with MBE Entertainment. We're looking for all African Americans to donate to Black Justice on GoFundMe.com. Help us get those arrested unjustly out of jail. Fight this police brutality. Once again, Black Justice at GoFundMe.com. And remember, it's only justice if it's black.
My name is Brother Hamilton, and I was inspired by the New Voices of Black Media and Dr. Claude Anderson to form the Black American Corporation. It's a grassroots organization formed by foundational Black Americans to promote wealth and economic prosperity in the Black communities across America through cooperative economics and business development. I invite you to come join us in putting our resources together to create an institution of wealth that benefits us all as a group of people. Please visit us at www.blackamericancorp.com. That's www.blackamericancorp.com. Thank you.
Yo, check out the website 100%rotten.com. That is the black-owned website where you can buy all types of t-shirts and accessories so you can look fly. You can get their Ogun t-shirts, their social distancing t-shirts, their riot t-shirts, and so much more. They even have iPhone cases that look real fly too. Again, go to 100%rotten.com, use the coupon code KINGFLEX to get 15% off on purchases. That's 100, the word percent, the word rotten.com.
Are you ready to start your own business? Well, we have the ultimate home-based business model to share with you. Home healthcare is a $400 business that remains untapped. We can teach you how to start a home-based healthcare business. Learn how to make profits every time a patient receives healthcare at home. No products to sell or buy. No medical degree or experience required. Start learning today. Go to CareReadyPlus.com. That's CareReadyPlus.com.
As the world fights this deadly virus, one of the best ways to stay safe is to build an immunity that can withstand every disease and ailment without the need for medicines or drugs. With proper exercise and nutrition, immune-boosting vitamins, and a smoothie recipe from HerbalOrganicProducts.com, you'll be ready for the fight. At HerbalOrganicProducts.com, you can download their ebook that details how to make vitamin-rich smoothies that will help you fight diseases and are absolutely delicious. You'll even learn about top herbs that can add a spark to your sex life. Check out HerbalOrganicProducts.com and place your order today.
Family, it is my duty and pleasure to present to you the album Soul Medicine on all music platforms by producer, singer, songwriter, lyricist, Jace Ace. Part of proceeds go to supporting mentoring programs for black male teens and African-American entrepreneurs. Follow Jace Ace on Instagram at JASE_ACE1. Neo soul, R&B, hip hop, gospel type music, yet something you've never heard before.
Are you looking to build a home business that leaves you feeling good about the work you do and lives you touch at the end of the day? Make money as a credit repair specialist with your very own franchise. Work from anywhere with just your computer or smartphone. And the best part is, once you enroll customers, the company provides support for all your customers, as well as online support. Just refer your clients, we do the work, and you get paid residual income. We provide you with a website, marketing materials, client support, and best of all, a very low startup cost. It's a complete business franchise in a box. For more info or to get started today, just visit creditagentbusiness.com. That's creditagentbusiness.com.
In these difficult times, it's important to let our children know that we have their backs. That's why there's a hot new company putting our children's self-worth center stage. It's called MyStoryMagicalWorld.com. That's MyStoryMagicalWorld.com. There you will find novel accessories and toys for girls of all ages, celebrating the things that make them special. As the company grows, they do have plans for boys' empowerment lines as well. So check out MyStoryMagicalWorld.com right now.
If you are looking for an educational program to keep your children engaged and learning during the quarantine, order Gifted and Lit. Gifted and Lit is an award-winning program that teaches kids math, science, language arts, financial literacy, and more. Download their content instantly at giftedandlit.com. Remember, that's giftedandlit.com.
Yo guys, are you looking for a constructive gift for a friend, family member, loved one, or anybody? You need to check out justice.pearlsync.com. Now that's an FBA-owned company and they sell beautiful, high-quality sets of notebooks that includes an impressive gift box. So you need to check them out right now at justice.pearlsync.com. That's justice.pearlsync.com. Hey, black nerds out there, are you tired of nerdy platforms that refuse to acknowledge white supremacy and geek culture? Do you seek a Black Nerd podcast that not only covers nerdy topics such as anime, video games, movies, and TV shows, but also subjects that only Black nerds can relate to? If so, then head on over to the world's first and only Black Nerd Empowerment Podcast, The Swarthy Nerd, at swarthynerd.com. Join the host, TV Guru, and Yuki the Snowman every Tuesday on their mission to provide information and empowerment to Black nerds everywhere. Again, that's The Swarthy Nerd at swarthynerd.com. Swarthy is spelled S-W-A-R-T-H-Y nerd.com.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's Black population. A small group of Black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book, Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I ain't gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever do that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's going on, guys? We're back. Welcome back to Tariq Radio. Glad to have y'all tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you guys have gone to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get Hidden Colors 1 through 5, including the movie 1804, ladies and gentlemen. So we're here, guys. A lot of stuff we're going to get into on today's show. I need everybody to hit that thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button, and then I need you to hit that subscribe button. And make sure you're subscribed, because YouTube is funny style. They unsubscribe people unbeknownst to them. So make sure that you are subscribed and hit that subscribe button and that notification bell, ladies and gentlemen. So today's topic, we're talking about smoke screens and deflections. Now that Black people are out here making noise, enough of us are on code talking about what foundational Black Americans need specifically. This is the first time, really, ever that we've gotten on code like this in significant numbers. And because we've gotten on code in significant numbers, and I keep using the term significant numbers, everybody ain't on code. Of course, there's going to be scraggler coons here and there, but enough of us are on code in order to move and shift the political landscape. So we're enough of us on code, and that's the great thing. You don't have to get everybody in line, just enough people, and enough of us are on the same page to be able to move and shake a little bit and make some changes and some demands. And the dominant society, they understand that. So what they're going to do and what they're doing now, they're doing everything. They're creating all of these deflective smoke screens left and right. And one thing they're doing, because we're making demands, they're disrespectfully providing tangible things for all of these other groups. Knowing that we need certain tangibles and we've been campaigning for tangibles, they're doing things in a grand measure for all of these other groups as a way to ignore us. They think that this benign neglect game is going to work for them, and it's just not going to work. Today, Donald Trump just signed an executive order. He just signed an executive order today, ladies and gentlemen. And the executive order is for economic prosperity for Hispanics. He just signed this order today. And let me read what it says on the White House Twitter. It says, today, President Trump signed an executive order to expand Hispanic American access to educational and economic opportunities. This order expands on the president's track record of delivering real results for the Hispanic community through his growth pro-worker policy. So now, whenever they talk about things done for us, it's always some trickle-down secondary bullshit. Meaning, well, we cut taxes and that inadvertently helped black people. It's always that type of con game garbage. But when it comes to other groups, they put together specific policies to help them economically. You understand? And what they're trying to do, because we're on code, they're trying to elevate a buffer class against black people. They're trying to get those Hispanic voters to get them codified so they can start voting in a block. Now, that's very difficult because the Democrats have been trying this, but they understand that a lot of Hispanics identify with white and they identify with white supremacy. So a lot of them vote Republican. So both parties are trying to elevate that Latino crowd, and they're trying to create a voter block with them, and that's just not going to work. But again, this is another convenient smokescreen. When they talk about producing justice, now they can point to Hispanics and say, hey, look, I know you black people were out there talking about black and brown, black and brown, black and brown. Well, guess what, guys? We just did some for the brown people. And by proxy, that's going to help you too, sonically. Your brown brethren, your minority brethren, they're going to get something. So that should make you feel good and that should shut you Negroes up. Nah, see, this is why we don't play that black and brown game, guys. This is why we don't include other people in conversations about tangibles we're supposed to get. Notice that ever since they put this executive order together, nobody's going around saying black and brown today. This was an executive order for Hispanic people exclusively. This was for them exclusively. So family, we really have to cut out this whole kumbaya. We're going to bring and drag our allies along. Ain't no allies, because other groups get things specific for them and we get secondary benefits that everybody else get, and they tell us to be satisfied with that. We're going to have to stand on our square. We're going to have to let them know it's going to be tangibles. We're going to have to get tangibles if we're going to participate in their process. And the fact that we're beating this drum heavy, they're getting desperate. Family, I've been on international press beating this drum. I was just doing an interview with Max Kaiser earlier this week. That's international press. That goes out to several different countries, telling the world, hey, black folks, black Americans, all this intersectionality bullshit that they're talking, no, no, no. We want tangibles in the form of reparations, in the form of cash payments. We want money. This is what we're about out here. We ain't out here trying to get booed up with Zaddy. You understand? But they're doing everything they can in the dominant society to deflect away from conversations of racism, of anti-black racism in particular. We have to beat that drum heavy. We have to stay on that. We have to keep that thing going heavy. Because what we got going on now, the NFL, they're trying to pull a little con game too, by the way. Now, NFL player DeSean Jackson, he put up a post, I think it was on Instagram. He put up a post and it was a Hitler quote. Now, he didn't put any commentary behind it. He just put the post up, and it could be interpreted several different ways. It can be interpreted many different ways. It was about, I think the connotation was about black people being the real Jewish people, the original Jewish people. I think that was the connotation of it. But the many white supremacists in the media deliberately flipped it into something else and deliberately spun it to make it seem like he was supporting Hitler. And that's another thing that's been going on really since the late 80s. White supremacist society, they've tried to create this false, asinine narrative that black people are somehow supportive of Hitler. And there's this rampant anti-Semitism within black society. That's a deflection. It makes zero sense. And they know it makes no sense. It's really just a deflection. It's a deflection of other people's anti-black racism onto us. And it's their opportunity to try to create comparative bigotry. So if a black person says something that somebody doesn't like, oh, well, that's just like slavery. You know, racism goes both ways now because I'm white and I say so. That's the con game they run. It's a spin game. It's a deliberate con game. This whole narrative that black people in any shape, way, form support the words of Hitler, and Hitler wasn't a fan of black people, nor were the Germans at that time. Let's be very clear. The Germans, even before the Holocaust in Germany, the Germans were over in Namibia. They killed hundreds of thousands of black people in Namibia as a precursor to the Holocaust in Germany. Let's just be clear about history here. Let's just be clear about history. This whole narrative that black people are showing some type of camaraderie with Hitler and the Nazis just makes zero sense. And let's be clear, Hitler thought that black people, he said black people were half apes. This guy wasn't a fan of black people at all. Even if we wanted to have a camaraderie with Hitler, it wouldn't pop off because this dude was a vile anti-black racist as well. That was the reason why he targeted Jewish people, because he felt they had a closer proximity with black society genetically. The Holocaust was about race, according to him. It was a racial thing. He felt that they weren't white enough based on the anti-blackness. See, it starts, the foundation of all that is anti-blackness, and then they work their way up to other groups. But the foundation of all of that garbage is anti-black racism. So let's be very, very clear. So DeSean Jackson, he put up a tweet. Not a tweet, but it was a post on Instagram. I think it was on Instagram. It was some kind of Hitler quote. And they jumped all over it. And they made him apologize. Fine. Okay. He apologized, but now they're going extra, extra with it. They're talking about him talking to rabbis. They're talking about taking him to the Holocaust Museum. And they're making a lot of noise about DeSean Jackson's post. And a lot of people are pointing out the contradictions here. A lot of people are pointing out the blatant contradictions here, because when Riley Cooper, the white supremacist, who was he's a former NFL player now, he doesn't play anymore, but a couple of years ago when he played, there was an infamous video where he threatened to beat niggers' asses. I beat every nigger in here. He was at an event and he got mad at the security and start yelling, nigger, he'll whoop a nigger's ass. I beat every nigger in here. It's like, whoa. Now, he didn't get reprimanded. They didn't reprimand him. As a matter of fact, I think he got a contract extension. He got a raise, I think. I mean, they didn't do anything to him. Just a little tisk tisk. They didn't do anything to Riley Cooper. But see, white supremacy is all about smoke screens, deflections, and hypocrisy. It's all about hypocrisy. And with DeSean Jackson saying what he said, well, he didn't really say anything. He just put up a post. He didn't really put any commentary behind it. So we can't say that he said anything. Again, he just posted some text. I don't know if it was from a book, but he didn't put any commentary to it. So again, people who want to project anti-black racism, they can project anything they want to his commentary. Well, oh, he meant this. Well, he meant that. And they'll just use the I'm white and I say so narrative. And that's what white supremacy is about. What, number one, white supremacy is all about lying on black people. I was tweeting this earlier. White supremacy, the culture of white supremacy, is about lying on black people using the I'm white and I say so narrative. That's a very important part of white supremacy. Just making up things and projecting them onto black people. Lying nonstop on black people. This is why we see all these Karen videos of these women just lying on black people every day. Every day there are lies spewed about black people. The white supremacists sit around each other making up lies about black people. That's part of white supremacist culture. I thought he had a weapon. I thought he had a gun. I thought I was going to get raped. He looked menacing. He looked suspicious. Everything is based on lies. Lies is the foundation of white supremacist culture, and they project lies onto us all the time. And what happens is, because their lies are backed up by a system that's militarily backed up, so they get to punish us based on the lies that they create. So if I say this black person had a weapon, if he didn't, well, I thought he did, and he deserved to get shot in the back, and can't nobody do anything to me if I do it. That's called white supremacy. I say this black person is bigoted, and the proof is I said so, and I'm going to deprive him of resources and income because I'm white and I say so. I'm white and I say Bill Cosby raped a lot of women. No, we don't have evidence of it because it was 100 years ago, but the white women said it, and we got our Negro minions to say it for us, and I'm white and I say so is all that matters. And he's going to go to jail. See, that's how white supremacy works. See, that's like a godlike power to speak something and then be able to punish a person no matter how false it is. You can speak something on a black person and then you can administer punishment based on the falsehood. See, that's part of white supremacist culture. We got to understand that. And a lot of times trying to explain ourselves to people, that's futile. You're just talking in circles and they're just going to hit you back with the I'm white and I say so narrative anyway. And that's where we are. See, this is why we got to get in a position of power where we can shut that type of thing down. We got to be able to shut that I'm white and I say so, you will get punished based on what I just made up narrative. We got to get rid of that. That's something that has to go, but I digress. But back to the NFL. So the NFL, they're doing this whole thing where they're blasting Deshaun, talking about his bigotry, and they're trying to make him the face of bigotry in the NFL now. He's the face of bigotry. You understand? And because now he's the face of bigotry, they're going to use this smokescreen to take away from all of the anti-blackness of Riley Cooper and some of these other people. Now, today, they had an NFL player, Julian Edelman. He came out kind of reprimanding Deshaun Jackson, saying, yeah, anti-Semitism is wrong, and I want to go to a museum. I want to take him to a museum, and then he could take me to the African American History Museum. Let me play. Now, Julian plays for New England. Where are my football players? My football fans, rather. Now, Julian Edelman plays for, I think, New England, right? All my NFL fans, I'm not a football fan like that. Let me play what he said today. Let me play his commentary today. He did a video, and all the white people love it. Oh, they're just praising him now. Hold on, listen to this. This is Julian Edelman. I think he plays for New England Patriots. Hold on.
I've been getting hit up by everyone asking me about this Deshaun Jackson post. And I wanted to take some time before I responded because it's a complicated issue. And I wanted to be thoughtful. I wrote down some of my thinking. I've seen Deshaun play in his career. make outstanding football plays. We've communicated over social media. I've got nothing but respect for his game. I know he said some ugly things, but I do see an opportunity to have a conversation. I'm proud of my Jewish heritage. And for me, it's not just about religion. It's about community and culture as well. I'm unusual because I didn't identify as Jewish until later in my life. Whenever I encountered hatred, it never really felt like it was aimed at me. It was only after I was part of this community that I learned how destructive hate is. Anti-Semitism is one of the oldest forms of hatred. It's rooted in ignorance and fear. I remember experiencing a little bit of this hate in 2011 when I was called a kike on the football field.
Now, let's be very clear. Because, see, they'll say this stuff, and this is the problem that I have. You don't put this on where it really needs to be, which are the white supremacists. No black person called him that. We don't use words like that. Black people don't really call people all these little different ethnic names. We don't do that when it comes to dealing with white society. We just look at white people as just white people. We don't break white people up in little ethnic and religious groups. We don't do that because it's not practical for us to do that. Let's be clear. This so-called ethnic, these ethnic slurs coming from other people, that's not us. But they don't check other people who do that. I remember when the Tree of Life, when that synagogue was shot up by that white supremacist, I remember the media coming out, instead of calling out all of these hardcore white supremacist groups, they were up here talking about, see, this is what happens when Farrakhan gets to spew his rhetoric. I'm like, what? Y'all just blamed a synagogue shooting by a white supremacist on Farrakhan? What kind of leap of damn logic is that? You think white supremacists are sitting around listening and getting cues from Farrakhan? See, that's a deflection. It's a very cowardly deflection because put the onus on who you need to put it on are these white supremacists. That's who's responsible for that. Call them out. They're the ones pulling the trigger. Farrakhan ain't never shot or killed nobody like that. He's never done that. He's never shed blood on anybody or any other black person who has gotten away with it. There's no equivalent of a black person walking around killing any group of people like the white supremacists are killing us. See, they make this false equivalency. There are no black people walking around here like Pantaleo or George Zimmerman. It's not black folks walking around here getting away with murdering people. It's just not happening. So we a lot of people make these false comparisons. But let me play the rest of this guy.
There's no room for anti-Semitism in this world. Even though we're talking about anti-Semitism, I don't want to distract from how important the Black Lives Matter movement is.
Ah, see. And that's what this really is. It sounds like a deflection from, but this is, okay, this is a perfect opportunity to use to deflect away from all of this black talk. So now he's going to tie it in. Now let's tie all bigotry matters, okay? Not just with black people, because see, DeSean Jackson posting something, that's just like black folks getting killed in the streets every day. See how racism and bigotry goes both ways? See, this is the narrative that they're trying to put out there. This is very disingenuous. Hold on.
Stay behind it. I think the black and Jewish communities have a lot of similarities. One unfortunate similarity is that they are both attacked by the ignorant and the hateful. It's really hard to see the challenges a community can face when you're not part of it.
And the interesting thing about this video, the white people are just goo goo gaga all in the comment section. Oh, God, this is so great. Oh, you're such a wonderful guy, Julian. You're so great speaking out against bigotry. You're the best. Now, all of a sudden, speaking out against bigotry is okay as long as you're speaking out against the black person. When Kaepernick spoke out against anti-black racism, he gets blackballed from the NFL. white folks all around the country up in arms. All this shit shouldn't be involved in sports. Just shut up and play. This shouldn't be a platform to speak about social justice. Shut the hell up and stand for the flag. Oh, we got hell. I mean, they just lost their minds when a black person spoke out against anti-black racism. Now that this guy speaking out really against a black person with this perceived bigotry, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. Oh, he's so brave. We need more people like him. See, this is called white supremacy. These type of contradictions are the basis of white supremacy. Let me play the rest.
So what we need to do is we need to listen. We need to learn. We need to act.
Since we need to listen, learn, and act, by the way, and everybody's jumping on Deshaun and giving this guy here props, by the way, Julian Edelman's teammate, Justin Rawiser, I hope I'm pronouncing his last name right, I think it's Justin Rawiser. Now, if you guys remember, and I hope I'm pronouncing that last name right, this Rawiser guy, who's on the same team as Julian, by the way, he plays for New England too. Justin has a tattoo of a white nationalist organization, the Three Percenters. And this was a story that got quickly buried a few weeks ago. Do y'all remember that? That story about this man's teammate, if we're going to talk about racism and bigotry and let's have a conversation, let's talk about all of it. Yeah, that last name, that's a German last name. This dude has a tattoo, and people called him out for his tattoo of the damn Three Percenters, which is a white nationalist group, and then he acted like he didn't know that. Oh, my God, I didn't know he did. I'll get it covered up, bro. And then the story just went away. They didn't take him to the soul food restaurant or the African American History Museum or the Ike Turner Studios. They didn't take him nowhere. They buried that story. Look that up, guys. Some of y'all might not even know this was a flash in the pan story that they quickly buried. You understand? Yeah, that was draft week. So again, y'all got all the smoke for a black person who posted something on social media, but a dude walking around with a whole ass tattoo of a violent white supremacist militia group, all of a sudden, well, young people make mistakes, you know. You understand? That little game. And they did the same thing with Riley Cooper. Well, he said he was sorry, and, you know, people get angry and they say certain things. Oh, they get to splaining. Nobody took Riley to the African History Museum or the Keith Sweat concert, or wherever you take the white supremacists who do bad things. They didn't take him nowhere. But now with Deshaun, we're gonna have to work together, and we're gonna have to learn each other's culture. Hold on.
We need to have those uncomfortable conversations if we're gonna have real change.
Uncomfortable conversations. I like that. Remember, see, look, use their words. Get their words and you use their words. We need to have uncomfortable conversations. I agree. Let me let him finish that. We do need to have uncomfortable conversations.
We need to listen. We need to learn. We need to act. We need to have those uncomfortable conversations if we're going to have real change. So to that end, Deshaun, let's do a deal. How about we go to D.C. and I take you to the Holocaust Museum, and then you take me to the Museum of African American History and Culture. Afterwards, we grab some burgers and we have those uncomfortable conversations.
Okay. So now it's time for some uncomfortable conversations now that Deshaun Jackson is the face of bigotry. Okay. Uncomfortable conversations. Got it. Okay. And we want to use historic markers to discuss these uncomfortable conversations. I agree with that. So I think Julian and Deshaun, when they go to the Holocaust Museum, then they go to the African-American History Museum, they should also take a stop over to the Touro Synagogue, which is the oldest synagogue in America. The Touro Synagogue, T-O-U-R-O. That's the oldest synagogue in America. They should take a stop there and learn about the person who built it, which was Aaron Lopez. A Jewish gentleman, Aaron Lopez, who built that oldest synagogue, and teach Deshaun about that. Teach Deshaun about the history of the synagogue. And also, Deshaun can teach Elderman that Aaron Lopez was one of the wealthiest slave owners in the East Coast at that time. Aaron Lopez was the wealthiest man in Rhode Island. This was a very wealthy slave trader. He made a fortune in slavery, trading black people. Let's have that uncomfortable conversation. Let's make the conversation very uncomfortable. If we're going to start going to places and going to museums and all that, I agree. I agree with Elderman on that, because we need to heal. We need to heal. This is a healing process. You know, we need the blacks and all that. We need to get with other groups and learn to heal. And when they leave the museums, they need to go down to the Confederate Museum. And when they're there, Google the term brains of the Confederacy. And I want everybody to Google that now. Google the term, the brains of the Confederacy. When you Google that, you will learn that the brains of the Confederacy was a Jewish man named Judah P. Benjamin. That was the person that was orchestrating a lot of the stuff with the Confederacy, the white supremacist Confederacy. The Confederacy that was all about maintaining white supremacy. In fact, Judah P. Benjamin's face is on the Confederate $2 bill. You can Google that too. You understand? This is healing. If we're going to heal, you know, let's have these uncomfortable conversations so that we all can heal. We need to all heal. You dig? So yeah, let's have all these uncomfortable conversations so we can learn each other's history. We can go down to the Hollywood Museum and learn about Al Jolson. Fine Jewish entertainer. And how he popularized blackface in the height of Jim Crow when black people were getting lynched. That's an uncomfortable conversation, but let's have it, as our brethren Elderman said. As our brethren Elderman said, let's have some honest, uncomfortable conversations, as Elderman said. You understand? If we're going to go there and put it in a historic context and start learning about history, let's not pick and choose the history. Let's talk all the history. Let's teach all of it. You understand? But again, a lot of folks are projecting. They like to project a lot of anti-black racism onto us. They love projecting this stuff onto us. And they like to project away from our needs. And again, this is why we get flooded with all of these other hashtags and other groups trying to deflect away from what we're trying to do. Whenever we try to get justice, we got to look at all these Negroes who come out here and run interference. As you know, we've been out here, and I did an interview the other day, and I was talking about these whole Karen incidents. We've been on this Karen thing heavy, talking about how these Karens need to be punished. That's the only thing that's going to deter these women from going around doing all this blatant lying and calling the police on black people. These people are going to have to be punished. And up there in San Francisco, there's a black lawmaker. He has something called the Karen Act, the C-A-R-E-N Act, called the Caution Against Racially Exploitive Non-Emergencies. So they're trying to get a Karen Act on the books out there in San Francisco. He's introducing this where it's going to criminalize these women for making these false racial calls. That's going to be a great thing. Now, up there in New York, I remember when this woman named Amy Cooper was at Central Park, and there's this black LGBT dude, he was a bird watcher, and she acted like she was getting raped, and she lied and said she was being attacked. So she got fired from her job, and they ran her through the ringer. So now she's getting charged. And the guy, the black dude, the LGBT dude, is out here caping for her, saying that he's not going to cooperate with the police. Isn't his name like Christian Cooper or something like that? I think his name is Christian Cooper. So this dude is out here talking about he's not going to cooperate with the police. He don't want to see her charged. She suffered enough. She's gone through enough embarrassment. See, family, this is why white society wants these black men buck broken. This is why they keep promoting LGBT interests to black society, because they know if they could break niggas, they know that they're going to be good minions and tools for white supremacy. You got these LGBT black people who don't want to mess up their friendships with white society by punishing another white person. These Negroes are the main ones running interference for white supremacy. And let's be very clear. This Christian Cooper, now again, I think that's his name. He wasn't the one who uploaded the video of him getting harassed by the white supremacist woman. It was his sister who did it. So I don't think he was going to even bring attention to it, but it was his sister who did it. So from day one, he's never been a proponent of really doing anything to punish this woman. He got some notoriety for it, and then he wanted to bring attention to LGBT issues. But sounds like Zaddy got in his ear. We got to understand how white acceptance and white sexual access, how important that is to certain Negroes, man. It's like a cancer. It's like a drug. This dude don't want to mess up his sexual access. He knows if he punishes a white woman, well, Zaddy won't provide no bussy juice for him no more. You understand? He knows that they're going to take the bussy away. So we got to watch folks like this and understand why they keep pumping certain agendas to us and why they're trying to buck break us all the time. You know, the Red Sox, there was something going on with the Red Sox. There was a story about how black men were being sexually exploited and raped by a Red Sox, was it an assistant manager? It was a higher up over at the Red Sox. It was a white man over here molesting and raping black boys and black men, and they've been trying to get a lawsuit on them. And the guy died. The white man died in 2005, but for decades, I mean, going back to the 70s, this white man was sexually assaulting black boys and young black men too. You notice how, and this is something that folks got to watch out for, when these white men come around these sports clubs, see, they come around with black kids who's into sports, and that's when you see a lot of this stuff pop off. Y'all get around these white folks, and you get up in their crib or get around them, and they do all types of things to you. Remember Sandusky? Same thing with Sandusky, doing the same thing. They were molesting all them damn boys. Robert Fitzpatrick, I think that's his name. Notice that. Family, let me tell you something. This is very rampant. They get these white guys who are into sports, baseball, football, these boxing coaches and all that shit. They get black boys around them, and all of a sudden you start hearing things. Let me tell you something. Where are my New York people? Where are my New York people from Brooklyn? Where are my New York people? Speaking of that, y'all know... Mike Tyson's, his guy, Cuz D'Amato. I've heard all types of shit went on over there at Cuz D'Amato's spot. Some of that's not widely known, but I heard a gang of shit went on over there at that house with Cuz D'Amato. And if you're from New York, you know what I'm talking about. If you're in New York, y'all know what I'm talking about. I heard it was a lot of stuff going on up there. Yeah? Well, yeah, with Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, my New York folks know. My old school New York folks, they know. My New York folks, they know. And even with girls, too. I mean, you know, with these gymnastic trainers out here touching these little black girls. Yeah, these white sports people, they've always been on that. Oh, yeah, Sugar Ray Leonard. Yeah, we've heard things. Sugar Ray Leonard, we've heard things for years. Yeah? But family, they like to buck break us because they understand if they buck break us, you know, this, you're going to destroy the warrior spirit to a certain degree as far as fighting white supremacy. Now, you'll jump on another black person, but as far as fighting white supremacy, and they like to get them a nice big burly buck to break. That's the whole key. That's Terry Crews. He's a big broken buck. The white man ran up on him grabbing his dick and balls. Herschel Walker, he was buck dancing the other day talking about, well, white people and black people need to get together. I don't like all this defund the police, this big buck broken Negro. They like that. And this bird watching dude, he's a big burly. He's kind of a big dude. He's kind of a muscular guy. He's not no little dude. And he's out here, you know, leave these white women alone. Now leave them alone. Now I don't want no trouble. And speaking of the woman, Amy Cooper, guess who else chimed in on this? Mark LaMoist Hill put his two cents in. And he did a video talking about how the white woman shouldn't be charged. Now listen to Mark LaMoist Hill, and he's always been funny style. We've been warning people about Mark LaMoist Hill for the longest. This nigga's such a tool. If you had any doubts that Mark LaMoist Hill was a tool, this will just remove any doubt. This is him talking about the Amy Cooper woman who's getting charged for her Karen lies. And he's talking about how she shouldn't be punished. Listen to this, Sambo.
This is one of the few times where white people are being forced to pay the price for the manipulation of whiteness against us. I get it, but I'm gonna say something that y'all might not like. It ain't justice. For the last couple of months, we are calling for abolition in a very public way. We are calling for the abolition of prisons. We're calling for the abolition of police. We are daring to dream of a world without police and prisons. And now we're calling for this woman to be locked up for something. Now, let me be very clear. We are not in an abolitionist moment yet. And so black people need some sense of justice. That's why we call for cops to be locked up, not because we believe in prison, but because we want them to have some kind of penalty when they kill us. We don't believe that cash bail works, but sometimes we want cops to pay a higher cash bail simply because we want the state to show that our lives are worth something to them. I get it. But if we are really going to do the work of abolition, we have to begin not just dreaming of a world without police and prisons. We also have to begin to engage. This is one of the few times.
Okay. This nigga's babbling. This is such a moist fuck nigga, man. Mark LaMoist Hill is a fuck nigga, dude. Now, when it comes time to punish these white supremacists, all of a sudden, notice all of these Sambos who's on their payroll, who's trying to get a job with them. Hey, let's do some abolition now. We shouldn't do that. That's not justice now. We don't want to start punishing people and putting them in jail. Now, that's not going to be the hell you talking about. The fuck is this nigga talking about? See, this type of nonsense, man, we got to have a mechanism. We're going to have to handle the fuck nigga brigade within black society. See, this is why they understand once we get some real power going on, it's a wrap for them. This is why they fight against us gaining power. Fuck niggas like this, the last thing they want to see is black people really in a position of power, because they know it's over. Busting your bussy wide open for tangibles, that's just not going to pop off like it used to. That ain't going to pop off. The whole professional white ass kissing game, that ain't going to pop off no more. See, these dudes get their bread and butter being professional white ass kissers and bussy boppers. That's how they get their paper. So anything about us being empowered is a no-no. These are the main niggas running interference. So we got to watch these guys. And again, we got to understand, in white society, they don't give us anything. They don't help us with anything. They don't help us with housing, education, economic development, nothing. Anything we ask for, they ignore. But all of a sudden, they want to help us get some damn vaccines for the COVID tests. Now, they'll help us with that. All of a sudden, when there's a COVID vaccine that needs to be tested, hey, black folks, won't y'all step up? We're here to help. And then they wonder why we have reservations about that. No, we remember Tuskegee. Hey, black folks, how about some of this LGBT stuff? Let us cram this down your throat. Let us spend billions of dollars promoting this specifically to you. And we got to understand, whenever they promote something specifically to us, it's not going to be something that's going to benefit us in the long run. They just announced a new Catwoman, no, not Catwoman, a new Batwoman, I think, a new Batwoman series. And it's a beautiful black sister named Javicia Leslie playing Batwoman. And all the white Hollywood trade papers are saying, we're going to get a new Batwoman. It's a bisexual black woman named Javicia Leslie. And they're just going on and on about how this woman is bisexual. They're literally, if you Google it, everything about the article is about the woman being bisexual in real life. Now, this is something orchestrated by the white higher ups at these executive studios. This is just them latching on something to black folks. So now they could say the black Batwoman was LGBT, and this was a strive for LGBT history. See, what they're trying to do now, they're trying to create LGBT history, or really trying to recreate it. This is why they latch on black people to everything. So if a black person gets a job, or they put a black person in a position, well, this is the first black person on Vogue magazine who's a trans. This is a historic stride for the trans community. They're literally trying to create LGBT history, because real LGBT history is J. Edgar Hoover, Jeffrey Dahmer, Ed Buck, Cecil Rhodes. Oh yeah, did y'all know that Cecil Rhodes, the white colonizer over there in Africa, he was LGBT, by the way. Y'all, a lot of y'all don't know that either. Oh yeah, so that's the LGBT history I like to teach. I like to teach real LGBT history. The genocidal colonizer Cecil Rhodes was LGBT like a motherfucker. He had a boo thing zaddy boyfriend. Yeah, he was LGBT too. Look that up. A lot of slave owners were LGBT. You understand? So they don't want the Alexander the Great. Yeah, they don't want that part of the LGBT history being told, about all the rapists and molesters and the J. Edgar Hoovers and all these people who have harmed black folks. So now they try to revise and create a new LGBT history. But this also, to me, sets another interesting precedent. So it seems like they're screening people who are black before they give them jobs. It sounds like they're out here giving people's jobs based on their sexual preference. Why does your sexual preference make a difference what type of actor you are? See, now this is a very interesting precedent now. So now, how do they know she was bisexual? How do you know that? How do you know what a person who's an actor, how do you know what their sexual preference is? Did you test her out? Because I know that somebody was testing Billy Porter out. So they're testing these folks out. They cracking open that casting couch now. And they're doing it with women, and they're going to do it with more dudes, as we're seeing with these shows now. The show The Chi, one of the brothers, he's not on the show no more. And from what the rumors were, he didn't want to do a scene with a trans person. There was a trans dude on the show. They said that, you know, the rumor was, and he's kind of denying it, but he didn't want to do scenes with this trans person, which is understandable. I wouldn't want to do that either as an actor. I don't want to, for an acting job, I don't want to engage in LGBT sexual practices that I'm not really with. I'm straight. I don't want to be forced into a sexual situation or an intimate situation that I'm just not with. I don't want to be buck broken. See, this is about buck breaking. When you force people into sexual situations they really don't want to be in. So now they're going to start depriving people of acting jobs. They're going to start saying, hey, look, you want to be in this role? Hey, you got the role, you got the part, but guess what? Guess what, new actor? And you've been out here struggling to be an actor. You're working hard. You've been bussing tables in order to be an actor. Now we're going to give you your first starring role, but your co-star is going to be a trans man. It's going to look like a woman. It's really a dude. And that's going to be your love interest. And if you want this job, you're going to have to get busy. And that's going to be the new norm. That's buck breaking. So we got to understand the game that's being played out here. Yeah, Michael B. Jordan better watch out. Michael B. Jordan better watch out. Again, they used to just put you in a dress. Now they're going to go a step beyond. With the black actors, they used to break you by saying, okay, we need you to play a woman. Put this dress on and prance around. Now they're taking the dress a few steps further. Now you're going to have a love scene with the same-sex person who's dressed like a woman. And by the way, when you look at these shows on The Chi, they got this trans chick on there. She can't act her way out of a paper fucking bag. She's not a good actor. Just like Billy Porter, it's not a good actor. And when these people are on the screen, it's like, okay, it takes you out of the narrative of the storyline. You're like, okay, this is just, I'm watching an agenda instead of a storyline now. You know? Yeah, they had Bing Rames in a dress, Wesley Snipes in a dress, Eddie in a dress, Martin in a dress. Everybody's in a damn dress. You dig? So we got to understand the game that's going on out here. But again, everything is about smoke screens, taking the focus off of foundational Black Americans and our demands. And now people are paying the price for it. And all of this deflection is going to work against people. Like Biden, they just put out an article today saying that Biden does not have the support of young Black voters. We've known that. We know that. At first, they were trying to fake the funk and act like Biden had all of his Black support. He's going around all these elderly Negroes. Nah. That's not going to help you win. All of those elderly Negroes who's already broken, that's not going to help you win. You need Black folks who are young, energized voters to get out here in the streets and really stomp for you. And that's just not happening. And they're trying to act confused as to why Biden is not getting young Black support. Biden is an old school white supremacist. He's harmed foundational Black Americans. People still remember that 94 crime bill. You've heard about the 94 crime bill. Just watching Biden, listen to him talk and listen to the disrespect that he has for Black people. Young Black folks see this. They're not going to want to vote for him. Whenever you talk about doing something for Black people, he starts changing the subject, talking about Hispanics and Native Americans. remember when they started talking about, well, if we do reparations, we're going to have to include Native Americans too. Ain't nobody rocking with that man on that. And another thing with the Native Americans, I was on the federal grant site where they list different grants that's available. Now, we know that Native Americans get all types of direct benefits from the government because of the treaties and all this stuff. But man, if you go check out the site with all the government grants, there are dozens and dozens of grants specifically for Native Americans. There are just grant after grant, grant for housing, Native American medical care, Native American education, Native American schools, Native American business development. I mean, so many grants specifically for Native Americans. Not only that, even the minority and diversity grants that's supposed to be for diverse groups and minorities, the Native Americans, when you look at the requirements, they have a fast track to that. Meaning they don't have to even have a 501c3. Every other group, you got to have a 501c3 and all this paperwork and these legal documents. Native Americans get that off rip. They get it off rip. All you got to do is be with a federally recognized tribe. You get all that shit off rip. All the minority diversity programs that you Native American, you get it off rip. There's not one grant specifically for Black Americans. Not one. There is not one whatsoever specifically for us. The closest thing is they give some money to some HBCUs, and we know what that is. HBCUs is for every damn body. Rachel Dolezal went to an HBCU. HBCUs, that's for everybody, but they don't have no grants specifically for us at all. And we got to be very clear. These federally recognized Native Americans, about 90% of them are white, by the way. These are $5 Indians. So this is another finesse game that white people use to funnel money to other white folks. You dig? Oh, they get free health care. Oh, they get all the goodies. And they want us to sit up here and sacrifice our vote for nothing? Fuck that. We want everything that they're getting, but specifically for us. Every time we're mentioned, it always has to be some other group, but they got all types of set-asides and goodies, and our names ain't nowhere to be found. Now with the Native Americans, they got this executive, with the Hispanics, they got an executive order for Hispanics. Now ain't no black and brown talk. We got to be precise with our words. We need certain benefits and tangibles and grants and resources specifically for foundational Black Americans. We got to be very, very clear on that. We got to be extremely clear on that. And while they're defunding these police agencies, that money can be used for our reparations package. I know out there in San Francisco, they're talking about defunding the police. This should be a wave. That's where a lot of the money should come from, which is good. We don't get any services from the police. We got to understand the con game and the finesse game that goes on with the police. And Black folks, I want us to understand, we got to not be afraid to stand up for ourselves, because look, Black people, we pay taxes. We pay taxes and we allow the state to just treat us any kind of fucking way. No, our tax dollars should work for us. Our tax dollars work for non-citizens. We got people coming over here from across the border eating off our fucking tax dollars that we don't even eat off of. And we get shamed into saying, hey, we want some. Hey, come on, Black folks. That's welfare. That's a welfare mentality. Come on, y'all. Stop begging. No, fuck that. I'm begging for what I'm owed. And let me tell you, the finesse game that the police run on us, number one, a lot of police officers who come into Black neighborhoods brutalizing us, we pay for our own brutalization. These people don't even live in Black neighborhoods, by the way. Usually these cops who come into Black neighborhoods, they live way off in the suburbs somewhere. Like in LA County, for example, the whole thing about the police brutalizing the Black people down in South Central and all over LA, those cops would have houses all out in Simi Valley and Thousand Oaks and all of these outskirts of LA. So our tax dollars are going to these police officers paying their salary. They're taking that salary out of the black neighborhood and going and funding the suburbs. We're funding the suburbs and their lifestyle with our tax dollars, and we're also funding our brutality with these people. And not only that, we're funding these people's families with those pensions they get. They get that pension money into perpetuity. So we're funding these people with our tax dollars and their pensions. They're getting all this money off of us, and we don't get any services from these goddamn people. And then when we try to sue them for killing a black person or shooting somebody in the back, they get qualified damn immunity. They can't get touched. And then the money that's paid out to these families further comes from our tax dollars. These police unions aren't paying all of these lawsuits that these families are filing against these race soldiers. The police unions and the police budgets aren't paying for this. This comes out of our damn tax dollars, man. Our tax dollars are paying for these people to kill us. They've made us participate in our own destruction, and we're told that we ain't got no rights. No, we demand rights, or we don't participate in the process. We don't participate in the electoral process, and by default, you'll come up with your own solutions to remedy those ills. To remedy those ills. So we got to understand the game that they've played on us, man. We are not going to fund our own demise. We're going to use our own tax dollars for our own benefit. We're going to benefit from it. We're going to let these folks know, if you don't bring us tangibles, we ain't fucking with you. We don't give a damn about no Biden. We're not going to be scared. We're going to defund these police. We're going to demand our tangibles package, and that's all there is to it. All right. Anyway, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio, guys. Been great chopping up game with the family. Much respect to everybody. I will holler at you guys this Sunday. Y'all be good.